This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny screencast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the saddest boy I've ever met, Bear Courtney.
The axe forgets, but the tree remembers. It's our turn to do the chopping.
Save the rebellion, save the trees. And rounding out the group this week, the one and only Anthony Carboni.
Y'all, after this episode, I'm feeling very, very comfortable saying Andor is one of my favorite Star Wars things.
What?
Wow. Okay.
Not just Disney
Plus. It's moving up there. It's moving up there. It's feeling good to me.
It's funny, Anthony Carboni, I mentioned on the Rogue One re-review, right, that I keep like a ranking. Sorry, if you hear that outside, that's the world's loudest Prius driving around outside my house. I have a personal ranking.
Gangs of Prius revving their engines.
I've sent a video to Tim, and like, no shit, it is weirdly the loudest Prius, and I don't know why. I was looking at my personal ranking, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, yo, like Andor right now? Andor might go above The Mandalorian, I'm going to be honest, five episodes in. This is crazy. Let's see if they stick the landing for season one, but like where I'm feeling, like it's a top tenner right now.
Are you ranking Mandalorian as one thing?
Yeah, I don't do like separate seasons because then we get into the seven seasons of the Clone Wars and stuff like that. So yeah, I think of them as like whole pieces of things.
Yeah.
Well, I love that. I want to hear all of the thoughts that we have about this show. But this is the Kind of Funny screencast. Each and every week, we get together to talk about the latest in TV, movies, and trailers. We've been trying our best to keep up with everything going on, including Star Wars, Marvel, Lord of the Rings, and Game of Thrones. We've done an okay job. Missed a couple weeks here and there, and we're going to continue to miss a couple weeks going forward. But if we're not missing stuff, you can find us on youtube.com/kindoffunny where we record these live, or you can watch them later as a VOD on YouTube or roosterteeth.com. If you want to, as a podcast, search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny screencast and we'll be right there for you. If you wanted to get the show ad free though, you want to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Molecule, Al Tribesman, and Fargo Brady on YouTube have all done. We appreciate you all so very, very much. A little bit of housekeeping for you today. There's a huge update on kindoffunny.com/store. We have our final work from home shirt and the Kind of Funny bomber jacket that is undeniably my favorite piece of merch that we have ever made.
Tim, we have the video ready and available. Do we want to
watch the video? Let's play it. Let's play the video.
Play the video.
What is hype? Is it something that makes you feel like this? Or make you do something like this?
Whoa!
Whoa!
Whoa, I'm so sorry!
Is it a paradigm shifting announcement? Or is it just a new dope bomber jacket? Introducing the all new KF Studio bomber jacket. Get hype at kindoffunny.com/store. I get a text from Matt Batson with just like a couple lines. Literally, it was just like four lines. And he was like, can you just record these? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh yeah, it's for the bomber jacket thing. So like, can you just show off the bomber jacket? I just recorded some footage of me spinning around. And then
he didn't tell you to do that because that felt like a Matt Batson direction of you doing, ooh. Like, I need you to model things more because
It's all I got.
In a bomber jacket.
That's just me.
That's just Tim whenever there's a new bomber jacket. He's just like, oh. And to have your own bomber jacket, Tim, I'm so proud of you.
I know. Thank you. Thank you. You've been on this bomber jacket journey with me for a long time, Carboni, and this is a big moment. You too can join in by going to kindoffunny.com/store and getting yours right now. But some more housekeeping for you. It's finally happening. In just a little over a week, we are launching The Spare Bedroom. Anthony Carboni is going to be there. We're all going to be hanging out. Sage is going to be there as well. Sage had to miss today, by the way, but she will be joining us for future episodes of this. Do not fret. Do not worry. She'll also be joining us for the live marathon stream we're doing starting at 10 a.m. Friday, October 14th. You can watch it live on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames or twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We'll be on both of them simultaneously for you to watch all the shenanigans for the marathon stream all day long. But because the studio is being worked on next week, we're taking a bunch of days off of content. So this show will not happen next week, as well as any other shows Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday as we prepare for the biggest thing that we have ever done.
Do it anyway, coward.
It's hard.
Let's do it anyway, coward.
It's so hard, man. We'll do stuff eventually, but next Friday,
cowards,
take the day off work and watch us all day. It's going to be worth it. I promise you. We're also brought to you by Chime and Canvas, QHD monitors, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, I want to hear what you have to think about Andor. Carboni, let's start with you.
I love this episode. I love where we're going. I love this episode specifically because Andor is doing this thing that all Star Wars has been trying to do since basically Clone Wars. You could say they've been trying to do it in live action since Rogue One, but it is the idea of Empire all bad. Is the rebellion all good? What's going on? Who are these people? And can we make them people more than we can make them archetypal characters, right? And there are a lot of moments this week with Cassian, with Mon Mothma especially, with Luthen, with everybody, where you are seeing, oh, this is not this idealistic thing. You know, we usually like Imperials in Star Wars stuff, because we're just like, ooh, I love how ruthless and evil and just like totally into this person is. I'm starting to really like Cyril Karn.
Oh, no.
Really?
Oh,
not no. liking, not no, liking yeah. him, not liking him, but liking the character of Cyril Karn,
right,
and the motivations of Cyril Karn. You know, Lieutenant Gorm, who we saw as, oh, this is a guy who is, he's Imperial, but he's joining the rebellion. He's loyal to the cause. He's seen the light. Nah, man. He got passed over for a promotion, and now he's bitter about it. And that's the whole reason he's in the rebellion.
That's great.
And I love this. I love all of these motivations that are just like, sorry, these are not big damn heroes. These are not super evil villains.
They're just
like
people.
We're seeing people, and I just love this so much.
Mm-hmm. Barrett, what about you?
Yeah, this was a fantastic episode. I think someone in our live YouTube chat said this episode was such a tease for them. They can't wait for next week. And I think this was a tease for the big thing that's going to happen next week, and we'll talk about that later. But I love that we had more of this quieter moment. We talk about, you know, these Disney Plus Star Wars shows being slow from time to time. And I love that because then we get moments like learning, you know, about the kid who makes his own equipment, because we're too reliant on Imperial equipment. And we're going to talk about the philosophy of that in a little bit as well. I love learning about Skeen. And, you know, him still not trusting Andor and all this stuff. You see the dimensions of these people, and Carboni nailed it, of they're not just archetypes, they're people. And I think the performances back that up in tremendous ways, in some heartbreaking ways, in some funny ways, in some very interesting ways. I absolutely adored it. It wasn't an action-packed episode, but I think it might be my favorite episode so far, just because of the discussions that are had throughout it that I just absolutely love, when you're talking about what empirical rule actually does to people. And I thought it was fucking amazing.
Yeah. What did you think, Tim?
Yeah. 1 through 3, I was like, okay, this is all right. And then 4, I was like, I think I'm really enjoying this. This one for me, I'm like, I'm all in, and I was all in last week, but I feel like this kept going the direction that I was hoping it was going to go. And I'm extremely excited for more. I love how slow they're taking this and letting us sit in it. I know we just did the Rogue One in review rewatch that you can go check out. And a lot of things we were talking about of like what made that movie work, what made the movie not work, and how it could have worked better. And it's like watching this episode in particular, I was really like, damn, I wish that we can go back and change things and have Rogue One kind of be like the movie to end the buildup of these seasons, and like maybe like change even the plot of what that is, but kind of just treating this like the heist that we're starting to see and the way that they're building out all the different characters. It's like so far seems a lot better done in this show than Rogue One did with those elements.
Watching,
go for it, Caboni.
Watching this episode and thinking about everything that we were talking about in the Rogue One rewatch, I really did think about everything you guys were saying. And to have one scene with everybody like around a fire,
that's all you need,
kind of doing what Scheme and Andor and Vel and Nemec and all of them were doing, like one scene where they had just, if they had just taken 5 to 7 minutes and just sat us with everyone on Rogue One and just given them a little bit of time, I get what y'all are saying, where that would have like,
that would have
really
gone
would have
miles,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it would have gone miles to like helping us understand those characters and feel a little bit more for those characters. But it's, you know, doing a movie is different than doing a series.
100%. Yeah. And that's why I kind of like, I'm watching this. It's like, I don't think it's a one for one of just, oh, Rogue One is the season finale. It's not that, that wouldn't work. But like, giving the budget and the scale of what Rogue One accomplished, like if we were, the story that we're building here, if instead of them doing this big heist to get all the credits, if they were doing, if it was the Death Star heist that they were building up to, and it took this long and there were like mini heists in the way to get to that one, like, God, that'd be cool. And in some ways you could look at it as if that is what's happening here. But I really love this cast of characters, and I'm a little surprised by that. Like, I thought they were going to be a little bit more disposable as we were introduced to them a couple weeks ago, but they're really doing a good job of making you care. Like, I didn't expect to care about the kid, but I definitely do. I'm getting a lot of Matrix vibes from him in a good way. I really think that the show has a unique identity, and I think what makes it special so far for me right now is not it's like facade of Star Wars-ness. It's like there's the lore shit that they keep dropping and name dropping Jakku and the Halcyon system and all that. I'm like, let's go. Of course, I love that. But it's the moments that don't feel like Star Wars to me that I'm enjoying the most about this. Like the way that they're using the TIE fighter as like this one single ship that is so terrifying to this group of people on land. And the sound design is like so, like it's using
you in the face. Yeah, it's insane.
Which like Star Wars sound design is like a majority of what makes Star Wars so special in some ways, right? But I feel like we've never seen it utilized quite like this. And it is, it just feels more real and grounded in a way that I appreciate. And the score is at times more Game of Thrones than it is Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And I like that because, again, you guys are saying it, these feel like people. This, it feels less Star Wars and like epic, grandiose, like hero shit. And it's more just kind of like, yo, we're people doing something epic and crazy. And like the score backs that up. It's like a subtle distinction, but I'm really, really digging the identity that this show has.
Yeah, it's like the same thing that Ludwig Göransson did, where he's like, The Mandalorian is a Western and a samurai film as much as it's a Star Wars. And this is kind of like that too, where it's like you're saying, this is a slow build character-based series. And I think not being limited, listen, we've talked about this 1,000 times. I'm just going to keep beating this horse. But not limiting these shows to 6 episodes changes everything. Being able to do these mini 3-episode arcs that are leading to a larger season arc is like, that's what golden age TV, you know, everybody's talking about how we're in the golden age of prestige television right now. And it feels like in a lot of ways, Disney Plus has not been taking advantage of that. And this really does. And I'm so excited for just watching this show that gets to take this time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so far they're using it wisely. You know, I do think that it's slow. And I just talking to some of my friends that are a little bit more on the action side of what they want from Star Wars. Like, they're not vibing with the show as much. And I wonder, like, what the common consensus is from people of with
I
how
think the common consensus is no one's watching the show. I don't feel like I see anybody talking about Andor on the timeline, which makes me sad. I keep telling Andy to watch it because I feel like this show in particular is, like, what Andy has been asking for when it comes to a Star Wars show, of, like, making it a step above, like, in the writing room of, like, what we've gotten so far with the Disney Plus shows, kind of wanting it on the level of a Breaking Bad or a Game of Thrones. And while it's not at that level, I would say it's still, like, a step above and, like, closer down that path than we've seen in the past. And I keep telling them every week, I'm like, you got to watch this show. It's so for you, especially, like, the way it ends, the Skarsgård scene at the end, and just, like, how it kind of – it leaves you hanging. You're like, God, yeah. That was such a good scene in and of itself. It's got such a good way to kind of tease what's to come. They're in their fucking Duffy in the writer's room for this show.
This episode in particular, I thought the writing was especially strong, and I think a lot of that was due to the setup of these characters over the last couple episodes. So seeing the Imperial dude, I forget his name, you said it earlier, Carboni, but
Karn, him with Cyril Karn. Karn.
Him and his mom, like, the conversations they had, like, they were great. They were just so good. Like, I feel like they nailed that vibe, and it could have been off, but they did such a good job with it. And then we cut over to the Imperial woman that is, like, just dead set on figuring this all out, right? And
her patterns.
Like, little assistant, they're, like, trying to figure it all out. I'm like, dude, I'm starting to really vibe with these villains, and I just didn't expect that.
And so I like the relationships between them as well. And, like, that was a moment that I was like, I don't want her to succeed in whatever she's doing, obviously, because she's, you know, just another cog in the machine of the Empire. But also at the same time, I kind of want her to be validated in, like, this pattern she might see, which we also got to talk about later when we kind of, like, go through the beats, because there's some interesting stuff there that I had to, like, kind of second guess on. But I love the performances and the back and forth that really showed, sold me on, like, the relationship dynamic between her and her assistant, where she was like, you go, and he was like, well, if you're staying, I'm staying, kind of thing. And it's just the little things, Tim. It's just the little things that
little things, they add up. Totally add up. I want to keep talking about this, you guys, but before I do that, let's take a word from our sponsors. Shout out to NZXT Canvas Gaming Monitors. We are huge fans of NZXT here at Kinda Funny. And I gotta say, these monitors, they're Andy Cortez approved, Kevin Coelho approved, and Tim Geddes approved because of their sweet 1440p resolution with 165 hertz refresh rate and 1 millisecond response hits. That sweet spot for gamers due to the balance of picture and performance. And now available in a 1080p 240 hertz version for the most competitive of gaming situations. They're available in 27-inch and 32-inch curved displays, variable refresh rate support for all of the major GPUs. You can get the monitor just alone, you can get it with a stand, or you can get it with some pretty cool mounts. There's built-in software support with NZXT Cam that lets you control all your monitor settings directly on your PC. No need to mess with the clunky hardware menus to lock in your desired settings. They thought of it all. It's sold exclusively on NZXT.com. You can learn more about the NZXT FHD Canvas Gaming Monitors at NZXT.co/KFGFHD. That's NZXT.co/KFGFHD. Shout out to Chime for sponsoring this episode. What's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it checking up on your credit score? I don't think so. At Chime, that's exactly what they do. With their secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start to build credit with your own money. All of this with no annual fees, large security deposits, or credit checks to apply. You can start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. You can get started at chime.com/KFGames. That's chime.com/KFGames. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank NA pursuant to a license from Visa, U.S. say Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact to score may vary and some user scores may not improve. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply, except at MoneyPass ATMs in a 7-Eleven or any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Get your credit journey started with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes, doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/KFGames. All right, I want to get into the nitty-gritty lore, Easter egg bullshit. Carboni, what did we miss from this? What is there in this episode?
Do you want to do it, or do you want to take it as we go throughout the plot?
Well, on this show, we don't do the plot. In review. In review, we go through the plot. Okay, here we just talk about what we liked or didn't like and all that
stuff.
All
right. Mm-hmm. So, first off, we have the tattoos. We have Crate Head and we have By the Hand. Now,
yeah, we got to talk. Like, I was looking it up, especially I had to turn on the captions at one point because I was like, is he saying crate? What's going on here? And then by the hand, are we talking Emperor's hand? Are we talking about the secret hand of the secret Empire forces? Anthony, you got to tell, like, who is
this
man?
I got a couple theories. I mean, now you should know that Crate Head and By the Hand, we've never heard these things before. Okay.
Okay.
So crate head, I'm thinking it's spelled crate like crate dragon, not crate like
the salt
last
planet.
Jedi.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm thinking it's some sort of jail or prison on Tatooine, potentially.
I would say, like maybe he had Tusken Raider ties?
Like, who knows? But the By the Hand is interesting because that's going to me, whenever you think about hand, it's always been talked about as Hand of the Emperor. So that to me is like Thrawn or Mara Jade or something like that. And, you know, as we're talking about like Mara Jade, like, listen, everybody, people who are thinking Mara Jade, I want you to get that out of your head right now. Because, like, listen, maybe one day, I don't know, but this is not that day. I think it's more likely to be a Thrawn thing, but it's more likely to be a totally new thing that's not Hand of the Emperor. I think they're introducing some new sort of criminal and underworld lore that we haven't really heard about, you know?
That's cool.
And tattoos are like very rare in and of themselves in Star Wars. We don't see those a lot. When I think about tattoos, I mostly think about Aphra, and she has the different. She has the electrical tattoos.
Yeah. When are we getting her?
Dude, from your mouth to God's ears. When are we getting Aphra in live action? But we don't see a lot of tattoos in Star Wars. So just the fact that Scheme even has them is very interesting. So I like that. The other big lore drop sort of thing for me, and this is something that I didn't catch earlier, and maybe people did, when Scheme rolls out, Cassian's role there of like all of his stuff. Is that a K-16 Briar? Is he using the Kyle Katarn sawed off shotgun blaster? That to me looks like a K-16 Briar.
I thought we saw it in a previous episode too. And didn't you mention that?
He used it in the first episode. I don't know that I mentioned it. I think we mentioned Kyle Katarn because we definitely, everybody
always
talks
do.
About Kyle Katarn.
I think we
talked about it in terms of maybe Luthen's stuff, but this to me, K-16 Briar. So that's very fun. Because that doesn't mean Kyle Katarn is out there, but it does mean Kyle Katarn's weapon from Dark Forces, if you're a Dark Forces fan, is it's there and it exists. And I love that a lot. So there's a lot of that stuff. You know, you already talked about Dedra talking about all of the different things, like they're stealing things from Jakku. They're stealing things from Hosnian Prime. They're stealing things from all these places that we've heard of before.
Kessel.
And like, this is what I love about this show. We've talked about this too. It's not looking into the camera and going like, remember this thing? It's like, you could have never watched Star Wars before in your life. You don't have to know what Hosnian Prime is. You don't have to know what Jakku is. You don't have to know any of this stuff. It's just there for you if you want it. Right. They're using the galaxy as texture instead of as fan service, which is such a huge thing about this show.
Having said that, though, it still starts to read a little much when it's like every single thing that they name is something that makes us go, oh. And like, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying, I don't think that this show is immune to that criticism.
No.
I don't necessarily agree with that criticism all the time, though, because I feel like this is why we watch these things, is for them to be connected and reference the other things that
but
we like
in the
first
time,
place.
You know, they're bringing up their own new stuff in the background too, with whatever these tattoos are, whatever this by the hand is.
Right.
So they're introducing their own texture to it as well, that maybe, you know, 10, 15 years from now, we'll get some a little bit more, man, if there's a prison out there with like secret underground rebellion gangs in prison. Like, I want to know about it. Like, yeah, what's up? 100%. Like, I want to hear all about that stuff. I also want to hear more about this delicious puffed cereal that you eat with your mom in your efficiency apartment on Coruscant. This was like,
someone in the chat called it, what was it? Like space, was it Space Tricks? And I love that.
Yes.
It's like Oops All Melurons or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's so good.
He's still being treated like a kid. Just that simple, like, it's a funny bit, right? Of he's eating space cereal. But I love that, how that kind of, even that visually, where he even holds up one and like, you know, they really like kind of focus on it. He feels like a child at home, and that's what his mom always makes him feel like. Even later, where he talks about like overhearing the phone call between her and Uncle Harlow, who we gotta talk about. Who the hell is Uncle Harlow?
What the hell's going on?
I did some research last night, and I was like, maybe there's something, probably not, but Uncle Harlow's gonna help this man get a job in
is clearly like what we're seeing. And this is what I love about the entire Karn thing, is like, we're seeing an efficiency apartment on Coruscant. That's not something we normally see. We normally either see it's Star Wars. We normally either see like, we're so poor that all we can afford is inflatable broccoli, or like, we're so wealthy and we live in these great times. Like, we're seeing just like, hey man, this is what it's like to just grow up on like the Upper West Side of Coruscant in an efficiency apartment. You know, where you're not on the lower decks, but you're not in like the higher floors either. And his mom is like clearly putting all of her ambition for like the family on him, you know, and he's very resentful of it. And Uncle Harlow is like this one relative that, like, you know, when you're first starting off in an industry, your mom's like, well, if you're not finding any jobs, like, I know this guy, you know, we know this guy who worked on a movie 23 years ago, you know, maybe if you're going out to LA and you're having trouble finding work, like, we can call him.
Did you have an Uncle Harlow Carboni?
I had a cousin, John. We can call your cousin, John. He worked on, it's like, please don't call cousin John. Please let me do this on my own. Please stop thinking of me as a failure in this, because this wasn't entirely like, yes, this was my fault, but it wasn't entirely my fault, and I wasn't entirely in the wrong. The fact that Karn is just staring angrily in his little bedroom in his mom's apartment at a hologram of Cassian Andor.
I love,
just like, this is the guy that ruined everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love this whole, because it's also just a normal scene.
Yeah.
Like, it's a normal family scene. It's so interesting in a Star Wars show. I just love that they took time for it. I don't know.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, like the rich people that we've seen before in Star Wars, we're starting to see a little bit more here and here. I just love Mon Mothma and her shitty husband and their dope ass car.
It's
in
heartbreaking,
the dopest,
man.
Outfits, man.
Yeah, they've got the
daughter.
They look,
they've
got
so
the drip.
They got
for
this kid.
Days, but
a kid
got,
walks in,
dude. This was so heartbreaking. I want to talk about the scene where they're arguing about schedules, like wanting to do stuff with her daughter. Her daughter kind of like spitting back at her with like, you know, you just want to seem involved in all this stuff. And the husband kind of shittily like smirking to the side, like she's just like spouting rhetoric he's probably said to her, and like proud of her for it. And it's one of those things where
parents like, you're winning at everything, but I'm winning at home.
Yeah, and it's so fucking like heartbreaking. And it's one of those things where the second the kid walked in, I was like, oh my god, they have a kid. And she's like trying to, you know, slowly start like help start a rebellion, and just like kind of thinking more about of what she's losing. But then you sit with it and you're like, oh, she's already lost everything here, essentially. Like, it's still at face value, she has this luxurious life, but she doesn't have that family. And like, even later where they're coming back from some event and, you know, he's like, oh, you didn't tell me about this thing. And she's like, well, I didn't want to bore you because it was charitable. And then
I didn't
like,
think you'd want to hear about it.
Driver, can you take the expressway? I'm sick of being in this car stuck with my wife, you know?
What's his name? Because of what she says earlier, where she's like, the driver has a name. Like she cares about people. And he's like, well, if you care about people, what's up with your daughter not wanting to hang out with you? But I also got this vibe, and this is why this show is so good with character. Did you also get the vibe that, like, maybe Mon Mothma wanted to take her daughter to school or to wherever because, like, it was a good cover for some meeting or something she was on her way to, and she planned it that way? Like, even you watching it are kind of feeling the same thing that the family is feeling, where it's like, okay, yeah, you want to see me, but do you want to see me right now because it's convenient?
Helpful? Yeah.
And not because it's important for me? Is there something that does this work out for your day better?
Her reaction to it felt more hurt rather than shit, like, I need a cover kind of thing. And that was her.
But is she hurt because the family gets it? Is she hurt in a way because it's like what they're saying? Like, they're spitting facts. They're spitting facts at Mon Mothma, because we know that we didn't even know she had a daughter, and we've known Mon Mothma for decades. Like, that's
what
the other thing.
What else is she hiding?
They are playing on our perception of these characters so well. We see the first time we see Mon Mothma in Rogue One, we talked about this. She's in a column of beautiful white light. Mon Mothma is perfection to us. She leads the rebellion. And the fact that we, like, this family, this shitty, like, her shitty husband, like, has a couple good points, because it is a family and he is in a marriage and he's a bad dude, but he's got some good points about her not being around. And we know that she's never around because we've never seen her family before. And I love this. I love it so much.
She's out there rebelling, man. Like, I thought that the way that they're planning the scenes of the rebellion happening and already starting, of course, the line of, like, everyone has their own rebellion. Like, come on, it's so good. But the scene of them at the fire and the fire burning down the diorama that they made, and the cheers to the rebellion, and then the music swelling as they, like, go off to do this heist. I'm like, damn, dude, this scene was perfect. I loved that so much, as being kind of like the turning point of this arc of what's going on, of them, like, going to do the thing now. And it's, there's something believable about this show that I am really enjoying.
Well, let's talk about this, because this is the bulk, the meat of the episode is Cassian with this group, and the fact that they are not trusting him, and he is trying to show his value. And every time he tries to show his value, they do not trust that from him, because he's clearly lying to them and they know it. Right. The whole thing is, like, he and Vel are keeping the entirety of who he is a secret, and everybody's picking up on that. And it's kind of like even driving them apart.
The first time we see him in the episode, right, he wakes up and he's like, where's my shit? And then, like, that becomes a conversation with Scheme. And
multiple times it becomes a conversation.
Yep. And, you know, I love a little bit of, like, as kind of Scheme opening up a little bit to him about the tattoos, but then, you know, using that to kind of question his background, Clem's background, right? But the scene that we need to talk about, who's the young kid from
Nemec,
who the kid from The End of the Fucking World, which is a series on Netflix. Nemec is fucking awesome. He is the most based Linux user I've ever seen in a Star Wars. Like, this kid was fucking spitting this entire episode. He's like a kind of techie, and how he, like, brings that into philosophy with control and power, where he's talking about, like, we're too reliant on Empire tech, and when we are that, like, you know, they control everything that we get out of that tech. This little device here that's
Nemec says use a VPN.
Yes. And, like, his navigator tool.
/ kind of funny.
His navigator tool, which you can fix yourself. You don't have to rely on others. He's very much like an open source code bro, and you know, him, like, talking about, like, writing his, like, little manifesto. I absolutely adored that. And, you know, I also had the line here written down: the pace of oppression outstrips our ability to understand it. Were you talking about, like, you know, so much is happening all at once, and, like, how we communicate with each other affects that, and how they communicate to us when we're relying on all of this technology. It was like damn, they're really looking at modern society right now. And again, using Star Wars to reflect back on us on, you know, modern day politics, which is very interesting, which is a crazy idea, I know.
Crazy. They've never done it before.
Never done it before.
Never have they tried. Impossible. No, what I love, though, about this is it also it goes a long way towards explaining the galaxy of Star Wars, right? When he says we're too reliant on Imperial tech, it's too trackable. You think about Imperial tech probably started off as tech from Coruscant, tech that they were using in the Senate, tech that they were using in the Republic, right? And so it's like, okay, we've been using this centralized tech and now all of the technology has been turned against us by this oppressive force. And so that's why when you see, it goes a long way towards explaining things that we've always felt about Star Wars, which is when you see families on the Outer Rim or rebels using things, like, why do rebels have such steampunky geared up, like, rebuilt tech? And like, why did all the high technology of the Republic disappear so quickly? And the answer is, it didn't disappear. It disappeared from people who were sympathetic to the rebellion or people who were trying to get out from under government, if not oppression, then at least like, I don't want the Empire watching everything I do on my fucking moisture farm.
Right.
I don't want to report everything I do to the Empire. So I'm going to use this untraceable technology. And just Nemec going into that was such a wonderful thing. And I also love that Cassian's just like, it's fucking hard to use. which is also all of us, where it's like, your Linux friend is like, hey man, you should get off these servers. Don't use Google stuff. And it's like, but how, setting up my own email is hard.
It's so like, hard. But I also love that like all this dope ass knowledge is coming from the kid, like coming from, yes, the one that like immediately Andor was questioning. I'm just like, what's his deal? Like, what's going on with that? I just thought that was so great. And like, it just like twisted our expectations of him.
And it breaks your heart later on, because you know that Nemec believes in Andor immediately. Like, he says, this guy's one of us. Like, I can feel it in the last episode. He's like, no, he's part of the cause. And then when Andor says like, I'm here for the money, you see on Nemec's face, he's just like,
he's heartbroken.
Fuck.
Yeah.
But I also do love that Vel sets, like, listen, Vel is trying to keep this whole squad together, but she's smarter and she's a better leader than she seems. Because when she's telling the story of Gorn, she's like, he was with this woman. And because he was with this woman, he didn't get this promotion. Because he didn't get the promotion, the woman didn't stay with him. Everybody has their own rebellion. She's basically telling Cassian, like, look, you don't have to have... You don't have to be a wizard kid from the middle of nowhere who believes in goodness to be part of the rebellion. We'll take you. Like, some people's motivations are petty and self-serving, but as long as they're allied with our motivations, welcome to the fucking rebellion.
Yeah.
And I think
I'm getting paid. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Love that.
People are a little disappointed, but immediately they are fine with Cassian again.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, well, the guy's getting paid. He must be good.
And I love that aspect, too, because there's several moments throughout it where we kind of – I forget where I wrote it down, but it was essentially like we kind of see him learning to put his spy kind of skills and infiltrating skills like actually to proper use and actually try to be a spy, them training to, you know, pretend to be soldiers, walking up straight, him giving the suggestion of like, oh, you should switch because of the way that you hold your gun, being able to tell like who's right-handed, who's left-handed, and what side is favored. I love that stuff. And when it got to when it all kind of explodes and, you know, the crystal comes out and he's like, he's being paid, I feel like Cassian could have easily kept up with the game and been like, that's a personal heirloom thing that's important to me, just like borrowing Skarsgård's kind of thing, but he didn't. He comes out and I think that's such an interesting thing where he's connected with these people personally in little tidbits here and there and little conversations that he feels like he owes them the truth. And I wonder if we'll kind of see that struggle continue, because he could have easily just been like, still putting up the fence. And I know that maybe in the moment he was like, I just got to come clean so we know how to, like, so the job can go better and they can trust me and stuff like that. But I wonder if we'll see that down the line of, like, if he, you know, goes on another another infiltration job and, you know, there's another stormtrooper or whatever that he connects with, like, is that stuff going to struggle with him internally as well, of seeing like someone maybe on the inside who, you know, is a good person but just kind of like caught up in the machine and stuff. And I love that. And I also love the thing where he's like, make a choice. Don't use me as an excuse. I know you're scared. It's the day yes. before we're doing this plan, but, you know, don't use not knowing too much about me as the reason why you don't want to do this. Just be straight up if you don't want to do it.
No, I love that. I love that he just clocks everybody as like, dude, this is nerves. Like, yeah. this is just nerves. Shake it off. Let's go. We've got a job here. I do love seeing while that's all going on, Lieutenant Gorm is just kind of like going about his day, and he's just like, he still is like, man, I got to do right by these people still. And I've got to make sure that, like, I've got to make, like, he's trying to, like, you got to get down here tomorrow and paint this thing, because he wants them all out of the way. And they're just like, you can't make us do that. That sucks. And he's like, you're right. That sucks. Like, yeah. I can't do that.
Manipulation game where he walks away too and he's satisfied. He's like, I tricked them into like requesting a skeleton crew, essentially. Yeah. And the idea didn't come from me. So I'm not like, you know, I'm just the guy who signed off on it, kind of thing.
There was but also,
I love,
like,
that too. Like, just these Imperial guys are just so stoked to see the eye. They're just like, mm-hmm. yo, we're here,
and it's
man.
Not
like,
theirs to see this
thing. Yeah, I know. It's great.
It's tragic.
They basically displaced or killed everybody on this planet, and they still want to see the eye. Like, they're still like, no, we want to see the eye. The eye is the cool thing. And it's like, you hear that thing when he's up at the top at that gate, and it's like, oh, there would have been thousands of them a couple years ago. It's like, it would have smelled horrible. And you're just like, man, the casual fucking just racism, classism, like depersonalization. Like, even the TIE fighters just like, hey, there are some shepherds. Let's buzz them and scare them.
Yeah.
Like, They're just shitty, petty dudes at every turn. Yep. Even like back on the first planet, where it's like, oh, will this hotel be a good headquarters for you? And he's like, yeah, can I be prefect? I know it doesn't come with a raise, but like, if you'll just give me the title of prefect, it's like everybody in the Empire is just like
self-serving and just wrapped up in their own.
It's so gross. Yeah. I love it so much.
Yeah. I love that. And like transitioning back into, you know, we see that lieutenant who's on Ferrix come back, and we see the, who's the Deirdre?
Deirdre. Yeah. Deirdre.
Pass him by, and
it's
then she's
space
still,
Deirdre.
Space Deirdre.
Deirdre. Tim with two M's, space Tim, you know?
Yeah. You know, her kind of seeing this pattern. And the question I wrote down here, Deirdre still sees a pattern with all these stolen parts from all these different planets that are name dropped. Was Andor stealing all these parts, or did the one he steal just kind of make her see a pattern that he had no idea existed? Because he's got the one part. He's using the one part as leverage to, like, get off the planet. That's the only part that we see him have that he was able to, like, infiltrate and steal. And he was willing to kind of, like, sell it off to be able to get off planet when things were getting hot. So it didn't seem like he was the one going through and finding all these parts. So I'm wondering what
that's
setting up, and what pattern she's seeing has to be someone else. And I'm fascinated by who's actually going through and stealing all of these parts. Because even like, I don't think it's Skarsgård either. It's not like he's getting all these parts. Because he says he didn't care about the part. So it's got to be someone.
Well, he says he didn't care about the part, but he says that to Andor. You know what I mean? Like, they could have cared about the part. Okay. I think what we're seeing is we're seeing different rebel cells, whether they were set up by Luthen, whether they were set up by Mon Mothma, whether
Saw Gerrera, Ahsoka,
like, we're seeing all of these cells that are just like, hey, here are important things that we can take from them that can help. Whether all of these cells are in constant communication just yet, we don't know. It seems like maybe they're not just yet.
I love the line, it's too random to be random. It's like, oh yes. Shit, this is cool as hell.
Yeah. And, well, and that's why I love that too. And you know,
I also like Deirdre saying, this is the way I would do it. If I was doing it, this is the way I would do it.
Yeah, and like,
and I'm just
spread
like,
it out.
Woo!
I know.
Woo!
And I love that too. I've been rewatching Rebels just because this show has kind of just gotten re-soaked my excitement and just about this era and the Rebels coming together. And I just I wrapped up season one, and like the way that the kind of the small rebellion fleet that they had that come in to save the main crew on that show near the end of that season. It does feel like they just came together like very recently. And so it is one of those, like, I just love that we're getting teases of like, okay, these figureheads are out there somewhere and they know all of these cells and they're kind of helping these cells and they're slowly bringing them together after like helping them with their own personal stuff on their own planets, mm-hmm. kind of like Lothal.
I mean, just, even in Rogue One, we see that getting the cells to agree on anything up until the end is very tough. So it's kind of interesting. And that's what I love about like watching Luthen losing his nerve at the end of this episode and just like constantly listening to the radio and his assistant comes in. I forget her name. She's wonderful. She comes in and she's just like, dude, you know, you're not going to hear anything until tomorrow night. Like, I don't like seeing you nervous. Like, and he says like, it's the thief Andor. I wasn't careful. Like, I didn't set this up perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I threw something in at the end that could win this for us, but also
it could have been
didn't
a wrench.
Do it the right way.
Yeah. I love that. I almost tricked myself of like, is he waiting for, like, I almost thought over the radio we were going to hear like, this is Fulcrum or something like that. And that would have been the most hype thing. But listening, waiting for the crew. I love, and there's something else as well. Oh, I have written by my notes when they cleared out for the mission and they're leaving. I was real sad that they left the space goats behind. I hope they're okay and I hope that they can survive.
Those
by
space
themselves.
Goats knew what they were getting into, man.
I know. It just made me sad.
By the way, speaking of the space goats, I want to say the weird liquids of Andor continues. I love Mednog. I love that we've been introduced to Mednog, right, on the Fondor, on Luthen's ship. But I also like that now we have Dray milk. And if you drink Dray milk, it apparently, like, it gives you everything you need. It's like the Matrix sludge. It's like it gives you everything you need, but it sucks.
It's got like, all those Matrix vibes, man.
Yeah. It's got all the and nutrients, like, but it's just, yeah, it's not tasty.
Schema's like, we got a busy day. Finish your milk. And Andor's like, fuck your milk, dad.
keeping on with that, two last things that I specifically want to call out. You know, who's it? Vel, who's kind of the leader of this this group, makes Scheme kind of like apologize in his own way, and talks about his personal story and a story I feel like we've seen time and time again throughout all Star Wars media of, you know, Empire taking over, you know, local places and, you know, forcing people out of their homes, out of their farms, and repurposing it for their own
centuries
needs.
Of pepper trees.
Yeah, pepper trees, and, you know, Scheme talks about how, you know, his brother killed himself because he couldn't really handle, like, losing all of his personal stuff, which was tragic. And I forget the name of the actor who plays Scheme, but I just know he's cousin. From the bear. And
his name is Cousin Scheme.
No, hold on. I want the actor's name because it's the most Star Wars name. Eben Moss Bachrach. Is the most, that's his real life name, and that is the most Star Wars ass name. And I wish that was
Eben Moss is definitely a Star Wars, like, the Eben Moss definitely is part of the rebellion,
100%. But he kind of keeps the same performance that he has in The Bear, which is just, I live in the Midwest and I'm depressed. And the way he uses that to tell the story of his brother brings another kind of dimension to the realness of the rebels that, you know, I personally have not, like, I felt a little bit here and there, but it's also been introduced in the midst of Star Wars campiness and a hero's journey and stuff like that, where this is just Scheme, just he's just a guy, and this is just kind of the shit that his life went through. And I'm
just fucking mad, and I don't know where to put it. So I'm putting it here.
And he's like, I don't even know what I feel anymore. And that was,
dude, that was so, I don't know how to explain how I feel now. I used to hate them. Like, this is as close to an apology as you're gonna get. I was like, this is so fucking good. And I love Andor's response. Like, I love that he's just like, hey, we're boys. I get it. We're here together. So let's hope for the best at this point.
The last thing I have, because I feel like, you know, we set up this crew really well. I love the different dynamics, all of this stuff.
You got Dray milk.
You got all the milk. this plan is going to go wrong somewhere.
Yes! 100%!
Who doesn't make out of this plan?
I got a feeling when they're like, how do you tell the weight of the ship? And Cassian's like, oh, there's a thing. I'm just like, is there Cassian Andor? Uh-oh. Is there Cassian Andor? Is there a thing? It's a custom job? Then how would you... This is going to go wrong.
Yeah, but who pays the price for it? Ultimately.
Namek.
The kid.
Yeah.
That's Namek, that's guys.
Yeah, because especially because he's got his manifesto that he has not completed yet. I feel like a lot of his ideology is also going to... Is the one... He's the most... I'm in the ideology of the rebellion and what that means and the being against the Empire. Where a lot of the other stories that we've heard are more personal, whereas him, it's more of this philosophical thing. And I think a lot of that is going to rub off on Andor and why he decides to like actually be a part of a rebellion cell that leads to a bigger rebellion that motivates him to be like, yeah, I got to fight for something.
Isn't it wild that we've heard more about the history of like every single one of these characters, but we just like Namek is just so lovable.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just so, and it's the kid's performance and it's great. And I think that's all you need. I don't think he really needed a tragic backstory. Like everybody else had their stuff. And it, for him, it's just, he knows the Empire's evil and he knows the nitty gritty of every little detail of like what built that up and how to fight against it.
He's had a short life and this has been his entire life and it's what he believes in. And that's why Star Wars is going to blow him up.
Yeah. And it's really sad. And it's one of those things. It's wild. Learn. Like, it's just this kid that we like it, barely anything. He got a few scenes, but they were built up so well that when he dies next episode, we're going to feel it and it's going to hurt. Remember Bodhi in Rogue One? Remember when Bodhi
Rook
died?
Died
I'm about
Jins?
To get Bodhi'd, baby.
But it's actually going to hurt this time because, you know, Bodhi was like, I'm the pilot.
No,
we wanted to feel about Bodhi the way we feel about our boy now.
I feel the same way about both of them, and you're both heartless. Your hearts are smooth, cold stones.
Remember when they finally gave Bodhi something to do in Rogue One? They were like, oh, we forgot
get
to give
here.
Him something to do in the third act. Can you turn on a master
end
switch,
the show.
Dude?
Do the closing of the show.
Let us know in the comments below what you thought of this episode and if you think our boy's going to get Bodhi'd. But like I said, we're not going to be back next week because we are doing the Spare Bedroom launch party on Friday the 14th, 10 a.m. We hope to see all
Nothing's
of you
gonna
there.
Happen next episode. It's fine.
I know. We'll talk about it the next episode when we get back to it. Life's hard sometimes. There's so much going on. I've never been more stressed in my life, but I've never been more excited, okay? It's going to be fun. Until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.